seen it before this morning. I could tell they wanted me to wait till Sunday morning, but I admitted to them Friday. I saw them up here, and I said, I got to tell you, I've already been in to see it, and I love it. It looks real good. I like the change. So good to that they're doing as God's called them. They're so talented. We appreciate them so very much. Have your Bibles. I'd like for you to turn with me to the third Psalm. Pastor Ron, in his announcements, was talking about next week. He's going to be talking about the encouraging church. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the first church of wailing and gnashing of teeth. Not really. I want to talk to you about when one person becomes a majority. How many of you know that you and God make a majority? I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what the situation is in your life. You and God make the majority. He's the one that you need. He's the only one that you need to make a majority in any given situation in your life. This psalm that we're going to read was written by David. It was not written for him. It was written by him. He wrote it himself. And when you begin to look at the Psalms, there's 150 Psalms. David wrote 75 of them. And then his musicians, we call them his chief musicians, wrote 75 of them. But this is one of the ones here. When David wrote a psalm. When David wrote a song to God, it was an expression of worship. He worshiped God. And he always wrote them on the mountaintop, way down in the valley. I mean, in his worst times, David found a way to send up a praise to God. In his best times, he never forgot where the best come from. And he sent up a praise to God. Isn't that magnificent how God used him? So in the third psalm, David wrote, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head, the lifter of my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, and for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of tens of thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone, and you have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Father, we just love you, and we thank you for your love and your generosity. We thank you for anointing and your giving to us the ability to proclaim the gospel that you love so much that you died for. And I ask you to open up the hearts of the people that they will be able to receive this word this morning and the very same spirit that you gave it to me. And I give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is one of the Psalms that David wrote himself. And as I was saying earlier, he wrote these songs in his best times and in his worst times. In his darkest hours, David was able to express his worship, his love for the Lord. And he never failed to give God glory. He never did. You know, one of the things that we find about David and we read about David, we know David wasn't a perfect person. David had errors in his life. He made mistakes over and over and over. But one thing about David, and even the book tells us, he was a man after God's own heart. Have you ever asked yourself why? Why was he a man after God's own heart? There's so many things. He was one that never gave up. He loved the Lord, and he was quick to repent. And he always admitted his wrongs. And that's good, and all of those things are right. But one of the things that I noticed about David was he never let trial and tribulation, circumstance, or situations separate him from God. It didn't push him away from God. It drew him closer to God. Listen, I've seen people, I've been in pastoral ministry for over 40 years, and I've seen people all during my career that every time they got in big trouble, they left the church. They ran from the church. And that's what the enemy likes for you to do. He would like to separate you. That's the reason that Jesus taught about the 90 and 9 and 1. That's the reason that we're to not leave. We're to be drawn closer to God. We need to let circumstances, situation, and we need to let things in our life, instead of pushing us away from God, they need to draw us near to God. This is what David did. Anything that was happening, no wonder the enemy didn't like to mess with David, because he knew that it was just going to push him closer to God. It was going to get him so close to God. And the next thing you know, every time he started harassing David, the next thing he knew, David had written a song and sent up a praise to the Lord, and the anointing fell on him, and he was able to do the things that most people could not do. And so the songs that David wrote, that he wrote for himself, was an expression of worship to God. And it was always during his darkest hours that he wrote those. How many of you ever needed something from God so badly, or you needed something and you knew you could not provide it for yourself and no one else could provide it for you, that you had to receive it from God, that nobody, no other way you could get it? I've been there, and if you haven't, just hang on, you will be. I promise you, you'll get right there where you got to have something. It's going to be too big for you. It's going to be too big for you. I'm going to tell you, people can't give you peace. You can't give yourself peace. Only God can do that. So let me tell you, there's going to come a time in your life that you're going to need something from God that only God can give you. I've been there. I've been there many times. And I've been before the Lord. I've cried. And I do believe. I believe God sees every tear that you shed. I do believe all the... But I'm telling you, sometimes tears don't work. Sometimes you got to move in faith. You got to know that God hears you and God loves you and he's not going to forsake you. And you just got to begin to operate in faith. And I've learned that sometimes if I go before God and I'm not getting the results that I need in my life, it's time for me to start praising him. Send up a praise. Send up a praise. Send up a praise. See what happens. How many of you know that praise always gets God's attention? I don't care what you're going through. Begin to praise him for the end result. Begin to bless the Lord. Oh, and David would cry out, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Just bless you. I bless you. And everything that I'm going through, I give you the glory for it." I remember reading and studying the book of Job, the story of Job. He starts out giving God sacrifice. He goes through all of this stuff in his life. He loses his whole family. He loses his children. He loses his wife. And his wife tells him, "Just curse God and die. And let's get out of this mess." And 42 chapters later, if you read that, he's still sending up a sacrifice. He's still, I'm telling you, we got to have some Jobs in our life. We got to have some people that love God enough that regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what's happening in our life, we're just going to begin to send up praise. Just send up a praise. Go ahead and send up a praise and let God know how much you really love him and how much you trust him. And fear will leave your life. Fear will have no place anymore because you trust in the Lord. Yes. How many of you know you can't trust yourself? Amen. Much less anybody else. Amen. How many of you ever done something and thought, "I can't believe I did that"? Yes. Am I the only one?
Nope.
No.
Right here.
Thank you, James. Listen, we've all done this. We've done things, and I can't. So I recognize I can't trust myself. I can't trust people. But one thing I can do, I can put all of my trust in a God that saved the whole world. I can put all of my trust in the one that put this whole thing together. I can put my trust in him and know that no matter what happens, God's got it under control. I want you to look at somebody and kind of bump a little bit and say, "God's got it under control. Don't worry about it. God's going to make it work out. It's going to be fine. I don't know what you need." But you can quit begging for it and begin to send up a prayer. Send up a prayer of praise. Send up a prayer of praise, and you'll see what God will do. Listen, when you send up a praise to the Holy Heel, God will hear it. And God will answer it. Well, how many of you know it's hard to send up a praise when you're in trouble? It's hard to send up a praise when you're in trouble. I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there. But I want to tell you, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Do it by faith. Do it anyway. Just send it up. Send it up. God's going to receive your praise because he knows your heart and you're sending it up. And tell him, say, Lord, I don't feel like this praise is really from me, but I want you to accept it as though it was. And he's just going to reach down and love you and massage you and let you know that he receives it. Send him up a praise, even in those bad times when it's hard. Send him up a sacrifice of praise. Even it may seem like a sacrifice to you. Send it on up and God will bless you for it. For it. And the Bible says that, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise against me. See, David in this particular psalm, he's having to deal with the betrayal of Absalom. Absalom had betrayed him, turned all of his counselors against him and his military people. And worse than that, it was his own son that was doing this. So he's having to deal with this betrayal situation. And, you know, it's tough when people are against you. But it's when those people that you trusted, when they turn against you, that's when it really hurts. Those people that you put confidence in, those people that you trust, those people that you thought would never turn on you, and when they turn on you, that's when. And he's dealing with the betrayal of his son. His son had betrayed him, and his son was trying to take over, and he had convinced the military leaders, and he had convinced his counselors to be on his side, and he thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it when my own son and my inside people have turned on me, and they know everything about me. They know my weaknesses. They know what I'm thinking. They know where I'm going. They know everything. How am I going to deal with this? Listen, when everybody turns on you, forget it. You can make it without them. You and God make a majority. You can make it without them. You don't need people if you got God. You don't need people to be on your side. God will change the hearts of people. He's the only one that can, and he's the one that will do it. And we find that every time that you begin to try to make it happen on your own, it's not going to happen. But when you turn it over to God and allow God to work in your life, God will turn everything around and make it the way it should. Even though they're against you, you can make it without them. In Genesis 37, we read about Joseph, who was cast into a pit and sold into slavery. Everyone except his father that David had ever trusted turned on him. At that point in time in his life, his brothers had turned on him. Yeah. Everyone, he really trusted these people. They turned on him. First it was his brothers, then it was the slave traders, then it was Mrs. Potiphar, then it was the prisoners, then it was the jailers. And the number just kept growing. Every time he turned around, someone else was against him. But Joseph kept praying. Joseph kept believing. And people kept dreaming. And God kept promoting. Listen, if you will just do what God's called you to do, and don't worry about what everybody else is doing, just make sure your good job is done that God's called you to do, I promise you, God will turn it all around, and everything that he promised you, he will do it, and you will be blessed for it. Even though the number keeps growing, don't worry about it. I don't care how many are against you or what they're saying. You just keep doing what God's called you to do, and don't worry about the rest. You can make it without them. You and God are a majority. Verse 2 says, many are they who say of me, there's no help from God for him. Now listen, watch this. What they're really saying about David is, even God won't help him. That's what they're saying. Even God won't help him. I want you to look at somebody and say, don't count me out. Don't count me out. Don't count me out. Hey, look, I'm telling you, you don't know the relationship that I have with God. Amen. Even though you may not understand it, and even though that I may not do everything right, and even though that I've had a lot of faults and a lot of failures and this, that, and the other in my life, I have a very special relationship with God, because I know that I can go to Him at any time, at any given point, and regardless of what it is, I can pour out my spirit to Him, and He's going to listen to me, and He's going to hear me, and He's going to be the lifter of my head, and He's going to be my shield, and He's going to be my buckler, and He's going to be the one that, regardless of what I have to face, I'm going to go to Him. Don't worry about me coming to you, because I'm going to God Almighty. I'm going to the one that can do something. I'm going to the one that controls the whole earth. And He and I make a majority. And the relationship that He and I have is greater than any other relationship that I have in this world. I've always said, don't judge someone's walk until you know where they come from. Don't judge someone's spiritual walk until you know where they come from. Because if you do, you might find out they're ahead of you. Amen. They've come further than you have. Yeah. And if you don't work on your relationship with God, they'll pass you by. Amen. Listen, you don't know what a person's come from. And so you can't judge their walk with God. You don't have that right. Listen, you don't know the situations that a person was raised up in. You don't know what kind of conditions they had to endure when they were coming up. So don't try to judge them like that. Listen, we got to recognize the fact that people have to go as far as, it may take someone 10 years to get where you started. But that's where you started. They started way back there. They're growing in God. You know what we need to do? We need to begin to encourage one another. We need those that are behind us, and instead of looking down on them and pushing them back, we need to encourage them, reach and grab them and pull them up and say, hey, listen, we're going to walk through this thing together. And when this whole thing is over with, whether it be in my lifetime or someone else's lifetime, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, we're all going to be lifted up at the same time. We are brothers and we're sisters in the Lord. We are one in Jesus Christ. We're one body and we're all a member of that body. See, we got to recognize we don't need to count anyone out. They're not out till God says they're out. You know, someone said to me one time, and we were talking about things happening. I said, you know, It's left up to God. We really don't have, you know, it's kind of like Moses. He went through all of this stuff. And he could have been dead many times. But he was still living. And I said, you know, one day God said, my servant Moses is dead. He's dead. Now when God says you're dead, don't call the doctor. Call the undertaker, because you are dead. If God said, but until God says you're out, you're not out. I'm going to tell you something. We have got to get into that mode, that mindset, that we're not going to believe what the world has to say, what people have to say. We got to come from within. And I'm telling you, I tell the devil right now, I don't care what he's got, bring it on, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And regardless of what it is, I will overcome it. Don't count me out, because I'm not out till God says I'm out. And I know He will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll always be with me, even unto the end of the times. And then He's going to lift me up out of this place. Listen, how many of you ever felt like there's just no help coming from God? You've prayed. I tell you what, I have prayed, and about the moment that I got through praying, I thought, you know what? I know this prayer is not getting out of this house. It's just bouncing. It's not going anywhere. I know. I prayed, and I just felt like nothing was happening. You know what I found? I found that when it seems like nothing is happening in my prayer life, and that God is not answering me, He's really just positioning me. He's just positioning me. He said, I'm not going to answer you because I don't want you to move. Because I haven't got you in the position that I want you in. That I can minister to you. That I can minister through you. that I can make you the head and not the tail. I can make you the lender and not the bar. I just got to position you. You're not positioned. You're not in the right position. So I'm not answering you until I can position you, because he knows that if he doesn't answer me, what am I going to do? I'm going to keep praying. And I'm going to keep praying until he positions me. I don't know if y'all are like me, but a lot of times God don't just have to position me to receive what he has for me. Sometimes he has to reposition me and reposition me and reposition me until I do get where he wants me to be. See, hear me. See, God sometimes just wants to position you. How many of you know that the word tells us that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor can the mind comprehend, the heart comprehend, what God has prepared for them who love him and diligently seek him. Listen, God's trying to position you this morning. You've got to get yourself that you can hear from God. And maybe you've not heard from him the way you want. Maybe you've not gotten the right answer. Maybe it's not come and worked out the way that you thought it would. Ask yourself and then ask, Lord, are you trying to reposition me? Are you trying to position me in a place that I can receive? Sometimes you can be in a good place spiritually, but you're not in the place that God can use you. God told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith, and he went. He could have went to any other brook, but guess what? He wouldn't have been fed there. It wasn't there. It wasn't there. He went where God had to position him. God had to get him in the right position. God had to get him to where he could bless him. I just feel like in my spirit that God's been ministering to someone and he's trying to get you in a position and place you to where he can really bless you. And what you need to do is just begin to yield to the Spirit of God. Let the power of his Holy Spirit begin to position you in a place that God can bless you. Look, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. He didn't die for you to be poor. He didn't die for you to be sick. He didn't die for you to be trampled on. You're not the devil's doormat. You are the child of the living God. And we need to recognize he's positioning us so that we will be able to receive those things that he's prepared for us. Position. I want to be in the position to receive from God. I know that sometimes I feel like I'm just down to nothing. You ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like, you ever had times where you felt like everybody just loved you? Don't be fooled by that. They don't. But you know, and then there's those times when you thought that everything was going to, you're down to nothing. I've looked, church, listen, I mean this from my heart. When Charles Pettis is down to nothing, then God is up to something. He's trying to position me. Oh, I want to be positioned this morning. I want to get in the right position that when the blessing comes, I can receive it. I want to be in the right position. I want to be where God has told me to be, and I want to be in the frame of mind that I'd be able to receive. I want to be in the spiritual condition that nothing will be able to block the blessings that God is going to pour out for me. I want him to position me this morning, because I know that he and I make a majority, but I've got to get in the right position in order to do my part. Oh, listen. God has something for you. God has something. Just allow him to position you. David said in verse 3, but you, O Lord, are my shield, my glory, and the lifter of my head. You're going to like this. You've got to like this. I don't care how many they are. I don't care who has turned on you. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what situation you're in. Let them bring it on. Amen. Let them, because God is your shield. Yeah. God is your shield, and you'll get and he'll get the glory. And when it's all over with, you'll be able to hold up your head. Yeah. You'll be able to stick out your chest if you can. Yeah. You'll be able to hold your head high, right. And you'll be able to lift up a praise. Because he's God Almighty. And you're in position. You're in position. When I talk about getting in position, it's hard for me in my study of Old Testament. It's hard for me to think about being in a position without thinking about the ram's horn, the shofar. When they make a shofar, the horn that they would like to get, the straighter it is, the better it is. You know, we like them all curved and looking good and this, that, and the other. But they like a straight one. Then they can bend it the way they want it to. When they get it all cleaned out, when they blow into it, it makes a certain sound. It's got to have the right sound. And when they do it, they come up to the mouthpiece of it and they bend it. They position that mouthpiece where no matter who holds that ram's horn, it's going to be in the same position. It's important because if it's not in the right position, it'll make the wrong sound. God's not going to send the wrong sound. It's got to have the right sound. So it's got to be positioned properly in order to give out the right sound. I don't know about you, but I want the right sound coming into these ears. I don't want to be retreating when I need to press forward. I don't need to be, somebody be sending me the wrong vibe and the wrong sound. Listen, we got to position ourselves. We want to be positioned in the right position. One thing David knew was that if he cried out to God, and this is what you need to know. I want you to hear this morning. I want you to get this in your spirit. I want you to be able to rely on this when you get into certain circumstances and situations. David knew that if he cried out to God, that God would hear him. He knew that. He knew that if he cried out to God, God would hear him. He said, I cried out with my voice, and he heard me even from his holy hill. Yeah. You'll never get out of the sound of God's love for you. Your voice will always reach him. And he cried out, and he heard me from his holy hill. See, when your voice reaches the holy hill, something is going to happen. I promise you, something is going to happen. In 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, when you get home, read this. David begins to sing a song that he had wrote to the Lord. How that he was his rock, his fortress, his deliverer. And he sang out to him, you're my strength, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, and my refuge. You are my Savior. And he goes on to say in verse 14, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High sent out arrows and lightning bolts. All he did was speak, and the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were uncovered, and all the blast of his breath from his nostrils made this happen. Listen, church, what we got to realize, and we may not believe it, and we may not understand it, but it doesn't matter what's taken place in your life right up to the moment that the praise reaches the holy hill of God. And when it reaches God, God's going to come thundering out of heaven on your behalf. Listen, he's not going to come in unnoticed. He's going to come thundering out of heaven. And when he speaks and he blows out of his nostrils, even the sea will open up and the ground will quake and everyone will know that God's here. Listen, he's already come one time on a donkey bringing peace to the world. And let me assure you that when Jesus Christ comes again, he's going to be riding on a stallion, according to the revelation, on a white stallion, and he's going to be judge and he's going to be ruler. He's going to be the conqueror of the world, and he's going to come with great ability to be able to do what the word said that he would do. And listen to me, church, he's not going to come unnoticed. There's going to be a voice, the sound of a trumpet, the word of God says, and he's going to open up the sky, and he's going to cry, come up hither, and we will be lifted up to join them in the air. Listen, I want you to understand, God is God, and God's going to take care of his people. He'll never let you down. He'll never forsake you. You cannot get so far away that he can't reach down and pick you up. What we've got to do is become obedient to his Holy Spirit and allow God to operate within us. You know, I never want us to ever become so politically correct that we're spiritually dead. I know this is Super Bowl Sunday, but I don't watch professional football. I don't. I don't like Pumpernick, whatever his name is. I don't like the fact he disrespects our country. That's just my opinion. Don't hold it against me. I get a right to my opinion. You can have yours and tell me about it, and it's all right. I just don't watch it. And I know it's Super Bowl Sunday. I love the parties, but care nothing about the Super Bowl. As a matter of fact, Ben was talking about root for the Rams and not the Patriots. I don't care who wins. Isn't that terrible? I don't care who wins. As a matter of fact, before he said that, I couldn't even remember who was playing. I'm telling you, I am a terrible individual. You know, I love sports. I love Florida State football. You know I do. I go to all the games. I love seeing you guys. I love it. But listen, it's not my life. Amen. I was too little to play football. I was too slow to run track. I was too fat to wrestle. So I had to run a new race, a different race. And the race I run is for a different kind of wreath. It's a different kind of pride. Come on, work with me here. I'm not worried about all this stuff. And please don't be upset with me because I don't care about professional football. It's not that I don't like it. I just don't care nothing about it. If it was college football, I'd probably be watching it. But anyway, it really doesn't matter. What really matters right now is I know that Jesus Christ is going to be coming again one day. And when he does, I got to get you prepared that you will be able to meet him. And you may not like how I do it, but at the end result, I want you to be able to lift up your hands when Jesus comes, give him the glory, and say, Father, I don't know what's going on, but I'll tell you what, I'm ready to leave this world. Amen. What's this? Well, yes, Lord. That was a heavenly kind of one. Ding dong. All right, now, it would happen at that time. So it really doesn't matter. I just got to get you prepared to receive Jesus Christ when he comes. That's my only goal. That's all I care about. I may go about it a little bit differently, but I want you to be ready. And you know what I've learned? I've learned that until we receive the fullness of God, we're going to be weak in what we can do for him. Let me say that one more time. Until we receive the fullness of God. Listen, the warfare that we're in is not carnal, but spiritual. And we're going to have to fight it spiritually. Yes. Listen, we're going to have to be ready to meet the enemy in a spiritual arena and overcome him. So we've got to have God's fullness in our lives in order to be able to do that. We've got to be able to go to God and know that God hears us. Listen, I believe with everything in me that it doesn't matter what's taking place in my life or your life. What really matters is what goes on from here, from now on. You got to make that decision. We're all in a decision-making mode. See, I believe this. I believe if God's favor is on you, they can't count you out. I believe that if God's favor is on you, they cannot count you out. Even when you are dead, they can. There's so many instances in the Bible. When I was trying to figure out, which one do I want to use? It's so good when you get to, this is good stuff. You know, they threw the man on the prophet's bones. He come to life. Trying to bury him. And here come the grave robbers. And so we better get rid of this guy. So we throw him in the first tomb that they come to. And he falls on the prophet's bone. And guess what happened? He comes to life. Don't count him out. He was dead. But now he lives. Are you with me, church? You know, we got to recognize that. Don't count me even when I'm dead. And Matthew, Jesus teaching his disciples, he's teaching his disciples, and they're on the going down the Jordan River, and he's teaching them, and he says to him, he asks him a question. He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they started saying, oh, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. And some say you're Jeremiah. Well, some say you're Elias. They say you're all, you know, these different. And I begin to notice we have a common denominator here. Everybody that they said he was dead or had been taken up. How many of you know that when they killed John the Baptizer, when they killed him, they was expecting him to come back any moment. Because they were saying, that's John, come back to life. Don't you remember? That's what they were saying. That's John. He's come back to life. They were thinking, hey, listen. Even when he was dead, they couldn't count him out. You know why? Because God's favor was on him. I would rather have the favor of God in my life than anything else in this whole world. Just give me the favor of God. Just give me the favor. Because when God's favor is on you, I don't care what you're going through, they cannot count you out. They cannot. David says in verse 5, I lay down and I slept. And when I awoke, I knew that God had sustained me. And I will not be afraid. 10,000s who have set themselves against me. He said, I don't care how many of them they are. I'll just lay down and take a nap. I believe that's confidence. What about you? I believe that is confidence in God. He said, I don't care how many they are. I'll just lay down and take a nap. Now in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, Peter, Herod was about to kill Peter, bring him out of prison, take him out and kill him. He already beheaded John. He was going to kill Peter. And so he's in prison, and they got two guards at the gate of the prison. They got two guards with him. They wrapped him in two chains, and he's there. Now, think about this, my last little point. What would you do? Right. What would you? I'd be ringing, oh, my God, they're going to kill me tomorrow. I don't know how well I'd sleep, you know. But the Bible says Peter was asleep. He was sleeping between two soldiers. He was sleeping. He said, you know what? I guarantee you there ain't nobody going to mess with me tonight. I got two men guarding me. I got two men up at the gate. There's nobody going to come in here and mess with me. I think I'll just take a nap. I can sleep good tonight because nobody is going to bother me. And he goes sound asleep. Sound asleep. Listen, church. I don't care what you're going through. You may be between two soldiers. You may be bound up with chains. You may have a lot of things going on. But let me tell you, the worst thing in your life is not what's going on. The worst thing in your life is if you know it and you don't give it to Jesus, then you got a problem. You got to give it to the Lord. You got to give it to God. See, Peter knew that when he woke up, he would declare that God has sustained him. It's time that we let our voices be heard. It's time that we speak out. It's time that we give praise to God. It's time that we let the world know what we really are here for. And once it's heard by God, leave it alone and let him handle it. I believe that there are some here this morning that have been down. Some here this morning that people have counted you out. But you're not out. God has not forsaken you. All you need to do is call out to him. Let your voice be heard on the holy hill. And I promise you, God will come thundering out of the heavens. I promise you that. He'll come thundering. And he will not slip in unnoticed. The whole world will know that he's touched you because you'll be different. He will sustain you. He's God Almighty. Stand up with me. Now listen. In just a few minutes after we do our altar service, I want to tell you we're going to have a short little meeting. We said 30 to 45 minutes, but we looked at it as 15 at the very most, 10, 15, 20 minutes at the most. So I want to encourage you to stay and hear what's going on. If God has spoken to you and you feel like the minority in a certain circumstance or situation, and the enemy has tormented you, and you've cried out to God, and you haven't been able to get the results that you felt like you should, ask God, are you trying to position me? What do I need to do? Where do I need to go? How is my attitude hindering me? How is my actions hindering me? Show me, oh God, position me that I'll be able to receive what you have for me. I believe there's people here this morning that God's trying to position. God's trying to get you in. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. I'm telling you, I want you to know God doesn't want you to go out of here defeated this morning. He wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be able to sing that song of victory. And all you got to do is say, Lord, position me. Show me. Position me, God, because I want to receive what you have for me. Very quickly, if you would like prayer, I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come up. And if you would, if you need prayer, if you feel God is trying to position you, let us pray with you. We want God to get you into position that you can receive your blessing. I believe God wants to bless you. Don't go out of here and not have the blessing that God has for you. So just come, just come in whenever you will, please. And let's allow God to move in our lives. Let him touch you. Let him be the overcomer. Let him be your buckler. Let him be your strength. That's it. Come. Come all over the building. And just come down, and we want to pray with you. God bless you. Come. That's it.